Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Olivia, Jordan, Brody, Ava, believe it or not, this is about you today. It's not about anyone here. No offense, folks. This is about you. They're here to see you, of course. And we're honored to have all of our people today. Any special guests that are here, family members and loved ones, thank you for coming to this special event. But this is about you. You aren't getting confirmed in your faith today. Okay? When we call it confirmation, it doesn't mean that. You already have faith. Probably you first obtained it at your baptism. For some people, it comes later on to hearing the word of God proclaimed. But you're here because you have faith. This is not a confirmation of your faith. This is a reaffirmation of the faith that you already have. You are witnessing to the Christian faith that you now believe. There's a verse. It says, therefore, everyone confesses me before men. I also will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. And that's what you are doing today. You are publicly professing the Christian faith that you believe. I used to work and live in Germany for 6 years, 2 different tours of duty. During that time, I had the opportunity to make visits to former East Germany. Now, you were born after this all happened, but there used to be the United Soviet Socialist Republic. They were a communist regime. They included countries like the Czech Republic, Poland, East Germany. Well, by the time I got there, the wall had fallen, and we now had access to former East Germany. East and West Germany have come together and formed one country. Today, no longer two, no longer divided by a fence and a wall. But as I went to visit former East Germany in the late 1990s, the contrast between that and the West was stark. You drove into East Germany, you saw these old concrete buildings, beat up, deteriorated, not painted, just drab, just like row houses almost, you know, they all looked the same. And they were put up by the communist regime for their people. It was a clear contrast between the bare concrete utilitarian look of the apartments in East Germany and the way people lived in the West, and you could tell the difference. I went to a place called Wittenberg. You all pronounce it Wittenberg, but in German it's Wittenberg. Wittenberg is about an hour's drive south of Berlin. It is the home of the Protestant Reformation. It is the home of Luther and where he taught for so many years in his life. And this place was no exception. It was the same way back in those days, in the late 1990s. We had an LCMS worker there. His name was Dr. Reverend Willem Torgerson, but we called him Torgi. Now, Torgi was a German speaker. He was raised in a German household in, of all places, Canada. He was a single pastor, and he came to Germany in those days. It was about 25 years ago, probably 30 years ago. He's still there today, by the way. He's retired in Germany. He probably still lives in Wittenberg. And Torgi met my wife Susan and I one day and took us for a tour. He took us around the whole place and explained everything. And of course, he was fluent in German and he could talk to people as well. And he said, we sat there, I think it was at lunch or supper one night, he said, you know, the communists accomplished exactly what they set to do when they took over East Germany. They beat the religion out of the people, specifically Christianity. They eliminated it. If I had been a pastor in East Germany back in the days of the USSR, my children would have been forbidden to go to higher education. Once you're done with high school, no vocational school, no college, no nothing. And so there was very overt persecution. By the time I got there, the population or attendance at services still hadn't increased. Probably about 3 to 5% of the people would attend church on a Sunday, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so what Torgi said was true. And this in the very heart of the Protestant Reformation, where salvation by grace through faith was rediscovered by Luther and carried throughout Europe. But this is not the only place that this can happen. American society went through a dramatic change since the early 1900s. And the society we live in today is not the society that I and your parents, and I see a lot of gray hair here, grew up in. We've seen some dramatic changes. In the late 50s, 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s and 90s, denial of the spiritual realm was rampant, specifically denial of Christianity. And the threat of us becoming overcome by atheism, which is denial of any God, or agnosticism, which are people that ride the fence, was a very real and present, or clear and present danger, if you will. Now, we see that a type of spirituality seems to be returning. It's like we went through this phase where people were discouraged from being spiritual. Not to say they stopped believing. We still have a healthy Christian presence in our country today. But now we see a type of spirituality returning to America, but it's not what it used to be. You see TV programs today that overtly talk about Satanism, the occult, necromancy, which is talking to the dead, demon possession, all this since about the turn of the century or the 90s. I was watching a recent Chevrolet commercial, which shows three sport utility vehicles being sold by Chevrolet. The smallest one, called the Trax, that's the one you're told by Chevrolet you buy when you first start living together. It says nothing about marriage, okay? Now, we as Christians believe we're supposed to be married before we live together. So this is the kind of stuff, you would not have seen a commercial like that 50 years ago on TV, folks. Not at all. TV series they're just rampant with all sorts of sexual immorality. We just had another active shooter in Santa Fe at the high school, not far from Houston in southeastern Texas on Friday. Folks, you didn't see active shooters 50 years ago in America. It wasn't happening. There would be a rare event somewhere here and there, but it seems like every month, two or three times a month, these things are happening. This is the way Satan works. He pushes the truth of the Christian faith out. He pushes God out. There is a spiritual vacuum left, and what comes back and fills it is purely satanic. It's of Satan. You see, when the house is empty, whether it be a church, a country, or a person is spiritually bankrupt, Satan doesn't just let them sit empty. He fills them with his ways. I may be sounding melodramatic, but I am getting to a point here. Listen to this verse from Matthew chapter 24. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, a country, a church, or a person, let's just put that in there, it passes through waterless places seeking rest but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. And then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, eviler than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also it would be with this evil generation. Matthew 24:43-45. This is what is happening in America today. And it's even worse in Europe. I lived in Europe for 6 years. I've traveled all the way from Norway to Italy to France to Spain, the Czech Republic, Poland, Hungary. I've been there, folks. That's what's happening. There is some hope. Targi told us he was beginning to see the young people who've been raised without Christ showing an interest in the Christian faith once they were allowed their religious freedom again. So there is hope. Don't give up hope. But what am I saying? You live in a spiritually dangerous age right now as regards your Christian faith. You will be assaulted by evil. You will be tempted to follow the ways of a world that is becoming more increasingly resistant to God, to his truth, more sinful, more evil, and more immoral with each passing decade. Your faith in Christ will be challenged. Trust me. Especially as you move on to college, you move out in the workplace, you make new friends, you get more exposure to the world. Luke 18:8 says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Question mark. Good question. Jesus spoke those words. So if you think I'm being melodramatic today, think about that. That's right from the mouth of our Savior. I believe you will experience overt oppression and persecution for your Christian faith in the days that we are remaining on this earth. Are you ready for us? How will you respond? Will you stay strong in your Christian faith? And if so, how? What is the solution? Where is your hope? Where is your strength? Your hope is in God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Your strength is with the Holy Spirit as he works through God's word to strengthen your faith. You see, a lot of us, we think our faith is our own thing that we do. It isn't really. That faith that we have is created in us by the Holy Spirit. Listen to these words. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3. The Holy Spirit works through the word in your heart. Now, here's another verse, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. In other words, keep on coming to church. Draw upon the strength of the Christian community. Don't go it alone. Come to Sunday worship and hear God's word proclaimed. Come to Bible study and hear God's word taught. Come to the Lord's table as often as you can. Have your children baptized and send them to Sunday school and vacation Bible school one day. This is your weapon, to be part of a Christian community based on the Word of God, where the Word of God is taught and where the Holy Spirit has promised to work through that Word to keep you and your children someday strong in their faith onto the day of salvation. I will tell you that I do daily devotions. I miss a couple days here and there. But every day that I do it and I pray for each of my children and now for each of my grandchildren. And I haven't stopped at all. The world is a scary place. Yes, it is, spiritually speaking. But here's what your God says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Christ is greater than Satan. God is greater than Satan. And in fact, has overcome Satan. What can I do? What can I do? You ever ask that question? Christ says this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You can be who you are as a Christian in Christ. Follow your Savior. Live a Christian life. That's who you can be, because you are a light on the world. When people look at you, they will see that something is different. People are looking for a Savior. People are not going to be satisfied with the way this country is going, folks. They're looking for hope. You know, the Christian church prospers the most in times of persecution. It's happening right now in China. Under persecution is when the Christian church truly grows. And in that time, if it comes in your lifetime, Jesus says, you are a light to the world. Don't hide it under a bushel basket. What can I say? Or ask that question, what can I say? But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. Matthew 10:19. If you have stayed strong in the Word of God, if you have come to church, if you have studied your Bible, and by the way, do it at home as well, not just on Sundays. You remain in God's Word, and His Word has worked on your heart. He's been teaching you, okay? He's been ingraining certain basic truths in you. And when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom and the strength to say what God wants you to say. So what are you doing here today? You're making a public proclamation of your Christian faith before this Christian community, but also before the world. What you're doing here today is significant. It is important. But what's most significant is what's already been done for you. See, there were two boys in a classroom, a big boy and a little boy. Now, the little boy was out catching pollywogs in the stream during recess. The big boy was out there with him. The teacher went out, and this is back in the 1800s, they had an old school bell, and they would ring the bell. Recess was done, and you had to come in. The little boy was so engrossed in catching pollywogs, he didn't hear the bell. He was small, he was weak, he was sick. So everyone came back to the one building, one room class. They taught all the equations back then. And the teacher was looking around, and she saw everyone but the little boy. Finally, he came struggling in. He sat down in his seat. She said, Billy, you're late. You know what the punishment is. Well, back in those days, they would take a big stick, and they would beat them, give them a sound spanking. Well, the big boy sitting in the back realized that Billy was sick, and he wouldn't do well. He wouldn't fare well if he received the punishment that he now had coming from the teacher. So Johnny raised his hand and said, "Ma'am, I'd like to take Billy's punishment for him." She thought for a minute. She saw what was going on. She said, "Okay." So Johnny came forward and took Billy's in his place. That's what happened on that cross. We all deserve the beating from God. We deserve to be punished for our sins. But Christ took the beating for us. He did what you and I could never do. He lived a perfectly righteous life in this world. And then he took all of our sins in a way we can't comprehend. And he took our beating. He took our punishment for us as he hung on that cross and died for our sins. And he rose again to prove that he has victory over sin. He has victory over death. And he has victory over Satan, who is still trying to tempt you this side of eternity. But the war has already been won. Satan is like a lion who is in a cage. He's been caged. He cannot hurt you. And so, let's wrap it up here. You're going to come to times in your life when you're going to sin. But remember, Christ has taken your punishment. He's lived the life you can't live. And he's there to forgive you of your sins, to pick you up and help you to move on through this life. Simply believe. Any questions today? This is confirmation class. You know you're having class on Sunday, did you? If not, let's wrap it up. Go in peace, serve the Lord. And now may the grace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds, root your faith to life eternal.